गणपतिगुं हवामहे कविं कवीनामुपमश्रवस्तमं ज्येष्ठराजं ब्रह्मणां ब्रह्मणस्पत आनशृण्वन्नोतिभिः सेतसातनम् ॐ श्रीमहागणपतये नमः सदाशिवसमारम्भां शङ्कराचार्यमध्यमाम् अस्मदाचार्यपर्यन्तां वन्दे गुरुपरम्पराम् ॐ सहनाववतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यङ्करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः. As we do in each class, the first verse, so part by part, you can chant after me. Vedanta dindimastatvam ekam udghoshayanti yat astam purastat tattejaha Dakshinamurti Sangitam. So we studied number 68 last time, so today 69 continues in the same line we got into, where Adi Shankara is talking about Namarupa. So let's read the 69th verse here, page 33. Na tattvat kathyate loko namadyair vyabhicharatah vatur jaratha ityadyaih iti vedanta dindimah. This adyair, it's adyaihi, the visarga, the like H sound becomes a ra, like R sounds. Just when it's broken, then becomes adyaihi. The individual is addressed by such ever-changing appellations as young, old, etc. In doing so, declares Vedanta, the people are not addressing the real nature of the person. So nama-rupa, last week's we discussed anama-rupam, sakalam, that everything is the essence. Everything is really nameless and formless. What is really there? It said, sad, what was it? Sadbi? No. Sanmatra, something like sanmatra. Sanmayam, sanmayam chinmayam param. Everything is made out of, is presence and consciousness, existence, consciousness, anama rupa. And then it said what? Kuto bhedaha, kuto bandaha. That these are the differences. Where the differences when you drop names and forms? And then where's the bondage when you don't see the distinctions? That's what we talked last time. So continuing to discuss this now, that I label myself, and just like I label myself, I label others like this. There's a very interesting teachings. Swami Ramatirtha. Swami Ramatirtha, second known master that we know of that came to the U.S. And First, we know Swami Vivekananda Ji, who came, and within a few years after him, Swami Ramatirtha came. Also, he was in the Bay Area. And all his, a lot of his talks, I'm assuming there is talks that are transcribed, because at least some of these are, and most probably because I don't think he sat and wrote, compiled in a series of books called In the Woods of God Realization. And one of the points given there is, okay, so there are many trees, the woods, many trees. I see many trees. I see many people, right? And actually a tree, this whole simile of a tree is not original. None of these things are original. They're all taken from elsewhere, from other scriptures. It's in Bhagavad Gita, in the 15th chapter, in Kathopanishad, some of you studied that, where the tree of samsara, so the body is the tree. So many trees, so there are many trees around, and this is also this one. This wooden thing is also another tree, right? My own body. So it's just another tree. This tree and that tree. Trees are all trees. What's the difference, this tree and that tree? In any case, so the more I see distinctions in others, I see in myself. The more I see myself distinctly, I see others. Like here it gives the example of young and old. Let's say I'm very youthful. But then I see somebody that's, for me, I'll think somebody who's 35 or older. I'm just finishing college. I think somebody's 35. Somebody's 40 is kind of getting old. 50, oh, that's very old. I mingle then with people that are my generation because that's what I connect with. That's what I consider myself, like this. Or I consider myself. The interesting thing is very few people consider themselves old. When I become 70, I think 80 is old, right? Now I'm late 50s. Before in mid-40s, I'll think, okay, around 60 is old. Now I'll say, well, no, 60 is not so old. 70 must be old. I'll be 85. I'll think, oh, you know, me and the few friends I still have around, we're still not there. Those 90-year-olds, 95-year-olds are old. Because we really don't feel, because really, age, first I feel I am myself, then I add these things. But what happens is I take those and I superimpose them onto myself. This is the issue that we have. You know, yes, the body has a certain birth date, and the body will be around for some time, it's true. It manifests for some time, then goes away. But the thing is, I identify with qualities of the body and I put them on the Atma. Qualities of the physical body I identify with, and then I think it's me. I'm tall or I'm thin, or I'm chubby or whatever like this, right? So these things I take and I put on this. I'm dark or I'm light. I'm male or I'm female. All these things. That's the physical body, like this. When you're in deep sleep, what are you with this? When you're focused something, you're focused in something, figuring out some problem, focused in watching the news, are you tall or thin then? Or are you young or old? Where are these then? And then, and now I have a lot of energy. I did yoga pranayama, I'm full of energy. Or I ate too big a meal, now I feel very tired, I feel drowsy. Like this. I feel hot or I feel cold. These have to do with my energy, prana. And then I say, I am hot. I experience heat. I say, I'm hot. I'm cold. Here you walk outside, I feel cold. So I say, I'm cold. No, I don't. No, you experience the cold. Actually, that's a very interesting thing. When there is something that comes around like that that's not as comfortable, I'm not used to, when you take a step back and just let it be as it is, then it's not a problem. When I put my ideas on it, it's a problem. Like this, because I remember some years back, this is has to be about 30 years back or so, 25, 30 years, when I used to be in Manhattan. So one time I was walking, I used to be in one place, West 24th Street, Shivananda Center, from somewhere way across town. I was walking back to the center, and it was very cold winter. And what happened is I was just wind and I'm freezing no matter what, jacket on and everything. It's like the wind just goes right through it. So then I thought, okay, I can't do anything about this. It'll take me my 20 minutes to go back. That's it. So I just let it be as it is. Watch it instead of labeling it, oh, I'm cold. Then it's not a problem anymore. Some sensation is there. I don't label it this or that. It wasn't a problem anymore. Just because I say I'm cold and not used to, or I don't like. So in any case, that's on energy level. Then in my mind, all the identifications start from the mind anyway. But in my mind, I consider myself as something. I consider myself as a this religion or that, right? I consider myself as being from this place or that place. I can identify my profession, my mind, that I'm programmer, I'm doctor, I'm engineer, I'm lawyer, these things. Those are in the mind. Now what happens is, I is just the awareness. There's one thing that we call anyonya adhyasa. Anyonya adhyasa is superimposition that I do in both ways. The word not coming to our mind, it'll come back soon, and then we'll put the correct English term for it. But it's both directions. So what happens is, I'm the consciousness, the awareful being, and then there's body-mind complex, okay? So the body-mind complex is limited, has many different aspects, like birth, death, old age, young age, like I gave example here, youth and being young or old. So those are aspects belonging to the body or to the mind. My mind is very sharp. My mind isn't clear now. I remember many things. I know this. I don't know that. Now I take those and I superimpose some of them on the self like this. I say, okay, the self is young. The self is old in this way. Then on the self, I superimpose something from the self on the body-mind, and that's the consciousness, because it's a piece of wood, right? This is material. All the other material around, you see a lot of material around that is, if we were to take the body, and we could probably take the exact same chemical components and just make a small pile, and it'll be a batch of components, some minerals and some other stuff, and that's it. So the body is conscious, so we say the body is conscious, the mind is conscious. No, it's material. Mind is also material, but subtle material. And I superimpose the consciousness on this. So the bidirectional superimposition, that I'm putting the consciousness onto the body, and the dharmas, the qualities of the body, onto the consciousness. And then I confuse like this. This is what happens. That's why in Vedanta Vichara, in the inquiry, The main ingredient we have is this viveka. Build up this discrimination between body-mind complex and between I, the conscious being. The more that's understood, then the easier not to get caught up in all these ideas about the body and mind like this, not to be as caught up in like this. So that confusion like this. So in this way, that I superimpose both ways. So this is what happens. So, and what happens is that's what causes me to be bondage, in bondage. The previous verse from last week, kutaha bhedaha, kutaha bandaha, where are the differences? When I don't see these differences, then where's the bondage? And a very good clue we have about this is that every night we lie down, maybe it takes a little bit to fall, some nights fall asleep quickly, some not. Maybe there's some dreams, but then after some time, we get our deep sleep. So deep sleep, I put the body aside, and I put the mind aside. What am I then? Right? So when I put them aside, it's so wonderful. And I feel so full, so wonderful, that we know we feel so wonderful because when it's time to get up, we want to stay in the sleep a little bit more, like this. So we put everything aside and I'm just with myself. So it really shows when I drop the differences how wonderful it is. Because in the deep sleep, I'm not trying to become something or somebody. I'm not trying to prove anything. I'm not trying to get anything, and it's so wonderful. Then I work hard in order to relax. I work hard, and I want to save money and time off to go away somewhere so I can sit and relax. What do you mean relax? Relax so I don't have to think anything, so nothing's bothering me. But it's something that if I understand that that's my nature, then why should the thing bother me? Okay, something needs to be done, do it. Doesn't have to be done, I don't do. But I identify with all of these things. This is the issue. And so when I put these descriptions on myself, then the problem comes like this. You happen to go somewhere, help with something. You know, you go with a friend to something. You know, maybe you go with a friend to some, whether it's spiritual center, whether it's community center, something. You go and they ask you to help something, so you help a little bit. You're very happy, you help a little bit, very good. They say thank you, you're very happy you could do something. While you're there, you go home. No problem. It was very nice. Now they call you again. Oh, it was very helpful. We have another event. Can you help? So you go, you help a little bit more. Slowly, slowly, you like the place, so you start going regularly and volunteering. Now what happens is, so you help and this is a big event that happens, you work so hard and everything. Then they announce, we're very happy to all the volunteers, this person who helped promote, this person who helped to, you know, to bring food for everybody, this, and you're very insulted. They didn't say I helped so much, why didn't they say me? Because now I was the coordinator and they thanked the other people, not me, like this. Now I'm very hurt because I'm identifying with that role that I'm playing. So if I didn't identify, I just went, I helped, very happy, thank you, went home, no problem. As I identify, I build up an identity, then the problem is there. So the only thing is with identity, that's all, nothing else. I identify, then's the problem. A very interesting thing I saw, you can try sometime, is some years back, when we lived in Berkeley, then I used to, we had many yoga classes and different classes, so they were downstairs. So I teach some classes and then come upstairs to our house. So at that time, the World Cup soccer was going on. I didn't watch much soccer or anything. But then I found we didn't have any channels, any cable, anything like this. Somehow, you know, by the end, because we had an antenna here and there's some channels we could get. So there was some Hispanic channel, some Spanish channel that were showing the soccer. So I'd watch a little bit in the evenings afterwards. It was nice to see. Now I found, so I turned on, I would be there in time for the second half. So I was watching, and that game, it was, which country is it? Ecuador, I think it was. Ecuador is playing somebody. Ecuador, tiny country, was playing in the championships, very rare. Now what happens is Ecuador and the other country have nothing to do with. But I happen to be working, taking care of databases for an epidemiologist professor at UC Berkeley, studies in Ecuador. I don't know Spanish, but you know, I've made it the bilingual, so somebody else put in the Spanish like this. So somehow I see how the mind is slowly, you know, leaning towards Ecuador, identifying with the Ecuador side. No, that's what the judge said is not okay. Why against this one? So this is the thing. Try, you watch a sports event, any sport, watch on TV a sport, but two teams like this, where you have nothing to do with either team, and try to stay like the referee, the judge, equal. Very difficult. The mind slowly, slowly gravitates, wants to take on one side. Very interesting. Even more of a challenge. The team is from your place, from your country, right? Some people I know now with the cricket, this championship they had, U.S. somehow got in where they never do. So some people had two teams, U.S. and India. They said India had two teams. So people, which one should I be rooting for? Even better, one they would even know and try to just watch evenly like this. It's a very nice thing. So if a sports event where I don't even have a reason to root for one or the other, hard for me not to be objective, how much more difficult when with my daily interactions. But again, we shouldn't say difficult, just a habit. I should see anything that I take up as a role. Any role that I take up is something temporary that one moment later might be gone. I'm working something, tomorrow that company folds. Tomorrow, for some reason, I'm not there anymore. Whatever my role is there is gone, right? Any role that I have, whatever it will be, it's temporary and then it's gone, like this. So my identification of the role is just a mental idea. It's a frame I put on it. It's a frame. Your job position. Now even my relation with, I'm related to other people. What is the relate? Where's the relation? It's in my mind, right? Whatever relation I have with other people, whether friends, coworkers, family, where is it outside of my mind? So, yes, it's a way to function in society, so we use that. There has to be some way to interact. But when I the more I identify with the role, the more the role will start dragging me around. The more I see it just as that's, just an accepted way, some way to interact, but then I'm not that role. Then where is the... Because the more I identify with it, the more when things do not go according to how I think things should happen, then it causes a headache to me. And I also will cause more of a headache to other people too, like this. But when I step back and I'm not identifying with the role, and just think of it, at night when it's time to go to sleep, you can think of it, look, now I'm dropping all the roles. All these roles that I just have picked up and I'm picked up for some time, I'm dropping. I'm going back to Ishwara, I'm going to sleep, so I'm going back to the infinite. That's where I am. That's it. Will I pick them up again? That's not a problem. Whether I pick them up or not, what's the big deal? That's Ishwara's problem. Ishwara wants to send me back, they'll send me back. No? Doesn't want me to come back to them, I won't. What can I do? Because at some point I won't come back to them. Now, when I wake up, I can also remember, okay, where did I just come from? From there, from formless, right? Nameless. Okay, now I'm waking up. Now I see, okay, now I'm picking up some roles. Okay, let me remember where I'm coming from. That's where my home. These other things are just some temporary thing that I'm going to have to go through. Like this temporary pastime. Up one side of the world, pastime, other side of the world, time pass. You choose. Same thing. The time will pass anyway. So I see it like this then. It's very different in this way. So this is what this is saying. Don't take all these attributes and I put them on the Atma. Understand, I'm the conscious being. These are things that are temporarily there. Any attribute which is there now is going to change and not be there later. The more I put those attributes on myself and on those around me too, then that's going to cause more issue, friction, and problems. So why take them too seriously? And then I'll go through things much smoother, much easier. This is it. Now, one thing also here is this image that I have an image of myself like this. Right? That's an image. All these names, form, ideas I put about myself on myself is some image. So at least if I do put some image on myself, I should make it for me the most positive. Like this. So I'm very sick, not well. Instead of saying, oh, I'm very not well, poor me and this, say, okay, it's a lesson, a challenge. How am I going to deal with this? Difficulties, instead of seeing as difficulty, I see it as a challenge. Okay, a challenge that I can deal with to get stronger. Like this, that I can, how am I going to overcome it, go through it like this, not have it get to me? So I'm learning something very difficult, very hard to do. Oh, I'm stupid, I can't do. No, again, I say, yes, why can't I do it like this? So at least, when if I take something on and then I shouldn't take it as something that's going to constrain, something that's going to expand, that will be more expansive to myself. At least I start with this. Then afterwards, you know, slowly, slowly, I should just not understand. These are just temporary things, nothing that is permanent in any way. And in here it's saying why these are constantly, all these things are constantly changing. So if I want to hold on to the changing, then what'll happen is it slips by and I'm, where is it, right? In the Bhaja Govindam of Adi Guru Shankara, he says, don't be proud of your, you know, youth, ability, strength because you're young. Because Lord Yama, or time, takes these away very quickly. We'll take them away before you know it. Like this, before you know it, it's going to be gone. So because I'm proud because of some ability or because of anything, I shouldn't be, because before you know it, then what? Right? Then what? And something for us to learn, we see in ourselves things that I could do and I can't do, or things that change. I see as I identify with them, then what? In this way. So this is a warning he gives. Be careful, because that's the reality, right? The reality. So we should look at it in this way. So this is what this is talking about. Next verse is continuing the same thought. Let's just go. They go hand in hand. So let's see what he's saying here. Namarupatmakam vishwam indrajalam vidurbuddhaha anamatvat ayuktatvat iti vedanta dindimaha. So the wise know that this world, constituted by names and forms, is just an appearance, like a show of magic. It does not deserve to be categorized, because the names are ever-changing, to such an extent that they are not names at all. This declares Vedanta, like this. So this whole, what is the whole world that we live in made out of? So first of all, I experience my world here around me, meaning it's an my world is an experiential world. Let's say somebody in Africa has certain experiences, whatever they're doing, and I never hear, never see, have no idea about. That's not part of my world anyway. So my whole life is a series of experiences. So my world is everything that I experience like this. In this way. So what is it? It's perceptions and conceptions. That's my world in this way. So each person's world is, we each have our own world that we're living in, because each one of us has different series of experiences like this. Now what he's saying here, what is this? So this world of names and forms that I'm living in. Then he says it's Indrajalam, it's a net like this. A net that I get caught up in. Because all my identification with that, now I identify with, and now I get more and more caught by that. Because if you think of it, if you take one object, you know, in space, one object, put it at one object that is in our solar system, then the sun is pulling it, the gravity of the sun, the gravity of Jupiter. Everything else, it's interacting with everything, so everything else is affecting it. So when I identify with one, I take something as my identity here, or I take something as something that I identify with, I'm an American, I identify I'm a fan of this sports team, I identify I belong to this religion. Whatever it is I identify with, then that one starts creating a whole web I'm of this religion. So people of that religion, they don't do it correctly because we'll go to heaven, they won't, like this. And so I don't like that. But this religion is kind of closer, so they're okay in this way. But these people in my religion, they're not doing these things they have to do once a week. They're not coming regularly, so I'm not so sure about them, and I'm not going to be so, you know, okay with them. But, you know, but since I do this, and the guru or the priest or this might hear I do, I better try to hide it because they might think bad of me and not how much it's starting to do, how complicated. The worst thing is the religion does this, where religion's supposed to free, and the religion binds more than frees in this way. How much it binds me, all the ideas, where it's something that should be expanding to free me like this, right? That's why Vedanta is pointing this out. That's why also any other religious thing that is not the non-dual should be opening the door to prepare for non-dual. If it helps to create more division, it's not working. That the God is somewhere far away, so I'm far away, so I'm good, so it'll take forever to get there, like this. Oh, I'm born sinner because I have so many sins, how will I get over this? Then it's going to cause more trouble for myself. But in any case, this whole net of ideas is, I have few ideas and they keep expanding, getting more and more complicated like this. My idea about myself and starts, which, you know, the best thing is very simple. As we mentioned last week, as I'm a nobody. I remember I'm a nobody, then no problem. Nobody is no doesn't have any problems. Yeah, the other things, just some ideas in order to, because while I'm here, okay, something has to be done. So I do, but I understand that is just, it's not intrinsic to me. It's just something temporary. So this whole complicated net I build because of one identity and I add to it. If you think of it, a small child hasn't built that whole net of ideas yet. So they're very simple and can run and laugh. Do they see it? They go and play with other kids. Do they see difference? What kid is what? They don't see any difference. They don't know. And then, but slowly, slowly, right, the parents start putting ideas in the mind. And then slowly, slowly, I build my identity. Some comes from parents. Some comes from community around. Some comes from my samskaras, my impressions. But slowly, slowly, this whole thing builds up. And the more it crystallizes, then the more stiff it becomes in this way. So the more stiffer my identifications, the more difficult, more flexible, easier then, like this. So this whole net, it says Indrajalam, the God's net, but don't blame the God that the God put a net that's catching me. I'm creating the net for my own ideas, right? Otherwise, it's very easy to blame somebody else in this way. In Kartopanishad, it said there that as though I'm going, why did the God made us with all the senses going outwards, so then I get caught up in all these things. But I can blame the God that the God did that, but seeing comes from the God. I would like to see this, I don't like to see that. Tasting comes from the God. I want to taste this, I don't like to taste that. That's my problem. Don't blame the God, because that's my ideas I put onto that in this way. One time, this is years back, we used to have these retreat days. We have still sometimes. So we'd have a retreat day and people come for the day. We do some yoga and meditation and talks and different things. So this one time, then the lady who usually cooks for us couldn't come that time. Still comes till this day after, you know, 20 years when we retreat, Mira Bhavi will still come and cook, amazing. And so she wasn't there, so I cooked and somebody else taught the yoga class. So what I did is I made a bitter melon, karela, like this. And I wanted people to get familiar with it because it's healthy for them. So I made a good amount, I cooked a good amount. And so when we were going to have lunch, I said, okay, we're going to have a silent lunch. So you're just present with what you're eating. Don't think it tastes like this I like, tastes like this I don't like. Okay, what is the recipe? How did they make this? You'll think that. And of course, some are Asian background. So it said, don't think, oh, when I was a kid, my mom would do this, make it. So I wouldn't like her, she'd make me eat, or would like us this. Don't put anything, just be present, just eat, just be present. That day, what happens is, most of the food was finished, and was a good amount of bitter melon, so I knew it worked, the trick worked on the one hand. But the thing is, that's very different when I'm just present with, no problem. That's why being alert, that this alert living, just being present, whatever it is, I'm present. If I'm present now, what was there a moment ago? Where is it? You know, yesterday I had an argument with you. If I'm present, where is that? It's not affecting my, you know, talking with you now. Where is it? It's gone. Right? Then I'm just present. All this stuff is put aside because I'm going more to my core. My core is being aware. Aware is only the present. My persona is the history, the memory that I put onto the present. So out of habit, I keep trying to take the past and put it on the present. But if I'm really just present now, then what? Then no problem in this way. So in this way, all these ideas, this web that I create, the more I'm present, the less and less it's going to come and cover everything up. In this way, just a habit. This is what happens. So, where are we here? So, vidur buddhaha, buddhaha, the wise people know, viduhu buddhaha, the wise people know this. They're wise so that they know, okay, why should I get caught up? Why should I keep spinning the web and get caught up in it at the same time? Let me learn not to, you know, slowly, slowly not to spin it and to disregard it. Something will come up. When you notice, okay, something came up, I get caught up in it. The moment I notice that means that I'm aware of it. So something comes up, I start getting upset, I start getting impatient, I start being judgmental. The moment I notice that comes up means I'm aware. So now, the moment I'm aware, I don't have to get caught up in it anymore. I'm aware, so it'll come, it'll go by. What's the big deal in this way? So, and every interaction starts, ends, and where is it? It's gone. Went downstream. I don't need to register and keep in my history, right? We are in Google, we have Gmail, so we have Gmail, and then we have things in our Google Drive, etc., and it keeps getting filled up. And they're very smart. Once it gets your 80-85%, they already say, you know, you can buy some more for $10 a month. You know, you'll have an extra 100 gigabytes or whatever. So we keep stuffing in the keeping it there. Why do we need? Use and delete. Why hold on to? Yeah, maybe it'll be somewhere in the memory book. How important is it for us to hold on to this whole historic self? That's not fresh. Fresh is just present this moment, not all the stuff that I keep carrying with me like this. So this is what saying, be careful not to get caught up in that. So the wise people see this, and then why will they get caught up in it? Why hold on to it? Where is it? The term they give also for what I have in the present, whatever I have now is my karma palam, the result of previous karma. Pala, the word pala, the fruit, it means actually something that is deteriorating. So pretty soon it's going to rot away. Because the fruit, you know, you leave the banana out, it's a nice green one. After 2 days it's yellow. A few days later it's a lot of brown spots, and 2 more days and, you know, you have to throw it out. It's gone. It's withering away. So whatever I have, whatever comes to me, it's just like that. It's there now, and it's very soon it's going to be gone. So that's as good as being just a magic, indrajala, magic show. Something is there, but seems to be. Something seems to be there, but isn't really there. So this is maya. I take this world as something so solid, but whatever I see, next moment it's changed. It's not there anymore. It's there and it'll be gone. Anything I have, before I know it, it's gone. It's gone. So how is that a solid reality? I say, this is solid world. But where is it? Anything you have here today, gone next moment. Okay, it may seem to stay a little longer, but it's just because it's flowing away a little slower. Then it's not, that's all. But anything there? Can you hold on to anything? Anything from half a year ago, from yesterday? You know, I can try to, but it's like trying to hold back the river that's flowing. It's there and it'll be gone. So how is it a solid reality? It's a solid reality as I take it to be like this. But that's just my perception of it. And here's a very interesting thing about it then is also, okay, here there are solid things here, but what are they made out of? What, just taking from the scientific perspective, out of tiny particles that are just made out of some energy that are jumping in and out of reality every moment. So where's the solid reality there, like this? And a very interesting thing, that's what science is saying now, and this is 2 millennia ago, Gaudapadacharya, who is the guru of Sri Adi Guru Shankaracharya's guru. So he wrote the Karika, the commentary on Mandukya Upanishad, Vedantic schools, whenever Mandukya is studied, it's only like a dozen verses or so, a dozen mantras, that along with the Karika, which is like 400 verses, with Adi Guru Shankara's commentary. So it takes a lot to study like this. So in any case, there, four chapters. Last one is called Alata Shanti Prakaranam. The Alata is a torch and talks about, okay, you take a torch and you spin it, right? You're spinning and spinning it. So there's a circle. Look at the circle. But is there a circle there? Right? It looks like a circle. The moment Shanti, the moment you stop, where did the circle go? Where did the circle come from? Where did it go? Now, the reason I brought this up is, look at the parallel modern science is seeing. It's just tiny particles spinning, and then this thing appears. Isn't that very similar to that torch spinning that looks like a circle? So, interesting that he saw like this and the nature. But what's spinning really? More than those particles, what's spinning is my own mind. My mind is spinning. Okay, time for class. I better study. I hope I have some interesting things to say. People are inspired like this. Ideas, right? And then I'll say, okay, now time. I have to go take care of this thing. You know, I have to take care. I have to go to work. I have all these things to do. But spinning, mind is spinning. When I'm just present with it, not spinning, okay. Things are fine. The more and more it's spinning, then I create everything. When it stops, when I'm present, it stops spinning. Where is everything? What is the issue? So really the spinning is in the mind. Mind is spinning and creating this web like this. So the wise see this and they understand the mind is making noise. Okay, let the mind make some noise. Why should I get so caught up in it? Like this, because the mind itself is ideas. Ideas are they reality? No, they're just ideas. Some, even the most bright idea or more expansive idea is an idea. It's not the thing in itself. So the thing in itself cannot be captured by the mind. Drop the mind and you're there, like this. So this is what is being pointed out. And then it says also anamatvat ayuktatvat. These categories and everything, again, as we said, they're every moment is changing. That's why holding on to the categories won't help. The constant changing, making it seem unchanging. This is again the superimposition, anyonya adhyasa. The self is changing as though, seems to be changing. Consciousness seems to be changing. I, the individual, I want to hold on to because I think what'll happen to me? Where will I go? What'll happen when I die? Oh no, will I stop existing? I take the Atma as the limited one, like this, as I'm this limited changing, and I take Anatma as myself, where something continuous. Now the continuity of the individual is again just I'm holding on to the memory, part of the flow. There's a flow, and I'm holding on to that flow, whole flow of ideas. But that flow is, it's really not a flow. Every moment is, if you want, you can say even discontinuous, because the mind is connecting everything, making it look continuous. One thought, then other thought, then other thought. So then everything looks like one continuum. Just like the light is on over here, right? You have a light on in your room. So it looks like there's continuous light. But really, it's flashing. It's flashing at, I don't know if it's 50 times per second, at more than 16, for sure more than 16, but certain amount of times per second, so it looks like it's continuous. Looks like it's constantly there. You see the movie? Looks like it's continuous, but it's 16 frames per second. So you can't see that it's just broken. So this whole world looks like something continuous. I, as this individual, I look like something continuous, but it's the mind, pulsating, the mind, my identity. So as an individual, there's no continuity. It's a batch of ideas one after the other. And because of habits, similar ones keep coming up. So those seem to be what I take myself to be, like this. Look, even body, the body. What is body? A bunch of sensations. I connect and say, okay, I'm this thing. When you just observe the sensations, it's a bunch of sensations, right? I connect it. And I connect it to some past, future, and then I take myself as that. It's just a bundle of sensations I'm aware of. But the fact that I'm present, I'm aware, this is continuous. There's no moment, no matter what, that I'm conscious, I'm aware. Anything comes and goes, I'm aware. That's the continuity in this way. So this is the core, but then we confuse the core with the changing. So this is the Atma is unchanging, and Anatma is changing. Atma is always one. Are you ever multiple? Right? I can have many thoughts. I can be wearing many hats, right? The goddesses have many arms, because a lot of times women are better than the men multitasking, like this, amazing, taking care of the motherly instinct, taking care of the kids, the family, everything, amazing, many arms. But again, that is the abilities of the individual, many doing many things. So multiple, but as consciousness, you're always one, like this. So I'm seemingly many as an individual, I'm always many things. What connects all of them? The fact that I'm one conscious being. I'm one. So Atma one, Anatma always many, multiple. Atma unchanging, Anatma always changing, like this. Atma is always me, the individual, the conscious being. Anatma is never, is always not the core, the consciousness, but what is being observed. I'm aware of my ideas. So am I those ideas? I'm not those ideas because I'm aware of them. I have pain in my leg. I'm aware, am I the pain or am I the one who's aware of the pain? Right? In this way. I'm worried about something. Am I the worry or the one who's aware of the worry? Like this. If I step back a little bit and watch it, then the worry can't catch me as much, like this. So those ideas are, I'm aware of them. I'm not them in this way. So this is why the Vidur Buddhaha, the wise, notice this. Notice it, so then why get caught up in all this small stuff, right? All the stuff, I make big things out of small stuff. Anything there will come and it will appear, disappear in this way. Now, what happens also is the more I'm caught up in this changing, I won't see what's behind it, unchanging behind. I won't be aware of it at all. And the example they give is, the classical example is the gold and jewelry. When somebody goes to the jewelry shop because they want to get something there, then they're going to be looking at the design, right? And design, and you know, maybe if it's mother-daughter, then the mother's going to want something more traditional, the daughter's going to want something more contemporary, and the father's going to look at how much money it is. That. So they're all looking at the form. And because there's so much looking at the form, the substance, they're not thinking of gold, they're thinking of just the form, like this. So the more I'm looking at the, I'm caught up in all the changing, I cannot see the unchanging behind. The more I look, I identify with my temporary roles, temporary ideas, temporary identifications, how am I going to see that I'm something else behind this? I'm the unchanging behind it. I won't be able to see because I'm so caught up in the external manifestation of it, like this, then I won't be able to tell. So that's why this way, slowly, slowly, we have to keep looking at it, learning to disidentify with, and out of habit I hold on to. Then I hold on to my ideas, and they cause me so much worries and so much problems. Because of this, I identify with the changing will change, so the changing is insecure, so that brings up all my worries and concerns and insecurity because of that, in this way. The less I identify with that, then less I give the emphasis reality to that, okay, everything's going to change sometime, right? The body's going to go, right? One time in Shivananda Center, New York. So when I was there, then I found some documents that that I found when Swami Vishwanathanandaji had purchased the building when I was there. So I said, wow, that's wonderful. So we had a 40th anniversary, did a big event there. And many of Swami Vishwanathanandaji's senior disciples, people knew him from a long time back, many people came. One lady that came, a lot of them are no more, so this is Ruby Blue, she's no more. She was very close to many, many years. So she stayed overnight at the center, and it was winter. So the next morning, she had to go to the train station. And what happened was, we couldn't find her coat, right? And it's very cold, and people are worried, running around, trying to find it and everything. And then when everybody was worried running around, she said, you know, if I get so worried about my coat, what'll I do when this body goes? Like this. So I'm worried about this little thing. What about these big things like that? So this is the insight. Anything, it's going to come, it's going to go. Small, appear, disappear. So the more I'm caught up in that, how am I going to see something that's greater behind that? I'm so caught up in the whole movement of time. I did this. I'm trying to get to that. I hope this will come. And yeah, I'm so caught up in this and my schedule and the time, just the present moment, which is there all the time. I can't see it all because I'm so caught up in all the other stuff like this. So, of course, these insights slowly, slowly I percolate into my daily life, but at least taking some time like this regularly to look at it and look at it. Because if we don't take time to look at it and reflect on it, we'll never see it because time will just go and go, and then who knows. So like this. So very important to remember then that in the end, all the bigger problems, fear, the root of the problems that I have, the fears that I have, insecurities, are because this being caught up in the ideas, the names and forms. That's where it's from. You'll say, yes, but if I don't take care of it, will I not die physically, the physical body will die, yes, but you will know that you're not, you know, you're not the one that dies. So, and that the death of the body is something that's nature, it'll happen. Body comes, body goes, like this. So to be concerned about it, you know, something that'll happen anyway, what's there to be concerned? But of course, here we're saying, as awareness anyway, there's no birth, death, because that's just of the persona, the idea that I take myself to be, like this. So these are a few thoughts about this, what is being pointed out here. And again, this is something that one has to bring to mind again and again, and churn it like this, to think about it, look at it. And then what happens is, my mind will come up with many counter arguments that say, no, it can't be like that, because of. And then when you take commentaries on the texts, like on Gita or Upanishads, there Adi Guru Shankara, when he writes the commentary, and then he writes Purva Paksha, he writes somebody that has counter argument. That counter argument, things that could come up in my mind. Well, sounds good, but. Sounds very interesting, sounds correct, but what about this? And so those are brought up. And then when those doubts come up in my own mind, why it can't be like this, I need to look at them and then resolve them. Look at both. Am I that conscious presence or this temporary changing thing? Is this really solid reality, or is it really just apparent because of my conditioning ideas? And I have to look at it and churn until to convince myself, to know myself. Because just because it, you know, it's saying like this, everything is just, this whole world is just ideas, and I build my whole net of ideas and get caught up in it. Okay, very good, but I need to see it for myself. And then I've doubt, why is it like that? I have to investigate myself. So those doubts come up, I have to look at them. I can ask about to get some ideas about, and then keep churning to make it clear for myself. This is how it's done. And what happens again, the way it's done, I hear slowly, the whole picture gets clear. These points get clear. And then I need to reflect on them. And then I can try just to abide in it by what I've learned, what's being pointed out. That's the Sharavanam, hearing what these teachings are pointing out. Mananam, looking and seeing why, contrasting it to the ideas that I have that are contradicting, fight against it, to really clarify for myself. And then learning to abide in it, to nididhyasanam, to meditate on, to see it from this angle instead of the usual angle I'm used to seeing it from. Like the next time, next few days, when I get caught up in things, I can just see, hey, whatever it is now, it seems very great now, but it's going to pass by, and then what? After a week, 2 weeks, after a year, what'll be? Something downstream I'll be so worried about now. It'll work out somehow, and it'll go. So why should I get so caught up in it? Something like that already frees me so much from some big worry that I have about something right now. So in this way. It can, somebody will say, what's practical about it? Well, it slowly helps to free us from so much nonsense, so much stuff. So most practical thing then. Yes, it's not going to give me some material thing, some gain, or some new experience, no, but it'll help to free me from so much other stuff. That's the important thing. So let's finish here for today. Om Purnamada Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnamevavashishyate Om Shanti Shanti Shantihi. Again, thank you so much for coming. A few more weeks, then we'll start having time for question and answer at the end when I'm back in the West Coast. So then any questions you may have, we can bring up and discuss a little also. So have a good week. We'll see you next time.
Thank you. Hello.
Thank you.